Hey, hey,
Hello, hello. Is your favorite married couple?
Listen, we are here coming at you with making love better.
And better and better.
And better and better. Listen, we pray that that's what you have committed yourselves to doing, not just in this year, but in the years to come. Our marriages are constantly needing to be what? Upgraded.
Upgraded. But we have an exciting topic for today. And today's topic is going to be this big old word called unity.
Unity. I think about unity oftentimes when we have walked down the aisle and we're on the path to solidifying our commitment to one another as it relates to our vows. And let me tell you, it's not always easy getting in alignment with one another in unity once we have said our I do's.
That's
sometimes
true.
We can be worlds apart.
So if you even look at the word unity, those first three letters will tell you a whole lot about togetherness and oneness. You and I. You, not am, you and I.
Ooh,
you
like
and
that.
I, unity.
You and I, unity. Listen, we will again be talking more about unity, what to do when there is a lack of unity, and how can you celebrate when you are walking in agreement. So hold tight.
All right, come right back. So our hot topic today is unity. When you take a man and a woman from two different ends of the pendulum and you try to put them together for them to come together as one, how difficult or how easy is that?
Let me tell you, a marriage merger is no small thing. So we do, of course, appreciate the fact that it is love that has brought us together. We celebrate the fact that love overcomes a multitude of sins, overcomes a multitude of shortcomings. But get this, it's not always easy for us to elevate and to operate in grace with one another. So when our worlds are coming together
to unite.
We do have to understand, as you just so suggested, that the worlds can be so far apart, meaning that our perspectives can be night and day because of our life experiences and the belief systems and the mindsets, all of which becomes a part of the marriage.
Yeah, but it's just like cooking. You know, when somebody's cooking and they really don't want you to know their main ingredient, so they put a little secret ingredients in there. What was your secret ingredient when we first got married that helped you to unite?
Wow, nice.
See, I put on the spot.
You did, but here's the
thing. I might need to give it 2 seconds. 1, 2, go ahead.
Here's the thing. I think about that. Oh, man, I wish I
knew
so much more.
Oh,
then, you know, that things that I do know now would have helped us a lot much more sooner. So the thing that was a constant for us was our faith. So that filled in the gap for a lot of mistakes, a lot of mishaps, a lot of sin. But I do remember my mother used to say, I'm going to date myself, but this is very old school statement that she inherited from her mother, that, honey, you don't have to see and don't see, hear and don't hear, meaning that we don't have to respond to all things in life in the relationship, because again, we have to understand that
you don't have to respond every day.
Oh,
not
no. Every day.
Okay.
Because we have to understand that we do come from two different perspectives, and not all the time will we be able to have understanding the fullness of what's taking place in the moment. So if we lack the understanding in the moment and we're and we're at a place where we may be overwhelmed or just confused, and it may just not be a good time to dig deep into getting understanding, it's best just to be quiet.
Yeah, that is so true. And that's good. I think one of my secret ingredients, if I was to pass my recipe on to somebody else, the secret sauce would be to crucify that flesh. Get the hammer out, get the nails out, and crucify that flesh. Not every once in a while, but daily. That flesh going to have to die in order for unity to take place.
You say secret sauce, man, that's a whole entree right there.
I know, that's a buffet, right?
That's a whole entree, because that is so
the flesh has to die.
That, and I will say this is our disclaimer, on this channel we do present things from a spiritual perspective as well as physical and psychological, but we do see it through spiritual lens. So when we say crucifying the flesh, we mean, if you want to use layman terms, what that means is ridding ourselves of selfishness. You know, we want to be selfless, so ridding ourselves of selfishness behaviors and attitudes, that the marriage cannot just be about what it is that you want, what it is that you need, how do you see things. No. We have to elevate. So crucifying the flesh means humbling ourselves.
Yeah, and that's so true. But you cannot also have unity unless you have submission. You got to be willing to submit. You got to submit to God first, and then to your spouse.
Submitting to one to another. And you know, sometimes people look at submission, especially as Christians, as a
controlling.
There's such a fear of it. There's such a fear of submission because oftentimes when we look deeper down inside of our histories, we see residue of where we may have been abused or taken advantage of. So there's this hypervigilant and that there's this reactivity reaction that takes place when we talk about submission, because sometimes people are just afraid of saying, you know what, I will submit to my spouse. So here's the truth of the matter. The Bible does tell us that we are to submit one to another.
Mm-hmm. That is so true. You remember this song? Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. He has to be the center in order for you to have oneness.
He has to be the center. Yeah, he has to be the sports. What is it?
I got you on that. See how I got to throw it off when I start singing?
What is that thing that's in a wheel? Man, he has to be at the center of that wheel.
Yes,
because it's impossible for us to have
it
unity.
It is impossible.
When we lack the Spirit of God operating, when we lack grace, right? When we lack humility, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we lack that understanding, when we lack understanding. So here's the thing. So what does unity looks like? Unity, you guys, is not always about, get this, it's not always about agreement.
Mm-mm, it's not.
It's not always about, you know what, we're seeing things eye to eye. But it does mean that we're able to elevate above the differences of perspectives and opinions to where we are operating and we are moving about on the same path, same journey for the bigger purpose of the marriage.
That is so true. I can remember when I just got out of military, the Army changed their motto to Army One, meaning that they are one unit. You might have paratroopers, you might have infantry, you might have Rangers, you might have tanks, you might have all of these different sections in the Army, but they move as one unit. They may have different functions, but when you see one, it's Army One. And that's the way marriage should be. It should be one. You have different perspectives, you have different functions, but you should move as one unit. When someone see you out in the open, out in the public, or even at home, they should see one unit.
That's powerful. That is so powerful. So here's the thing. What does it look like when we're able to overcome, get this, infractions, overcome offense, overcome irritation, frustration, overcome disappointment, and yet still walk in unity, walk in oneness, right? Because there are some things that we're called to do together, but there's also some things we're called to do apart, but yet too, we need the support of one another. And when we have unity, we have a union, we have a wholeness, we have the mindset of two individuals who are committed to the bigger cause.
That is so true. Because you might have, you are going to have individuals with different talented, with different likeness, with different dislikes, but you're able to come to the table and agree about the talents and dislike that you have, and to be able to walk away still in unity.
Still in unity and still holding on to the bigger picture, holding on to the vision, holding on to the calling. And guess this, holding on to respect for one another, holding on to dignity, right? Holding on to the higher values that you have committed yourselves to operating off of. That, hey, although my spouse and I may have different viewpoints and perspective, I don't have to attack him or her. I don't have to disrespect him or her, right? I can allow him or her to hold on to their dignity, and me allowing them to hold on to their dignity, guess what it does? It also helps me to hold on to my dignity.
That is so true. And you know, one of the signs that lets you know that you're moving into that oneness, when you're able to finish each other's sentences, when you're somewhere thinking about something, and before you say it, your spouse has already said it. But how you know I was just thinking about that? That's a sign that you're moving into unity, because now you're functioning as one unit.
Yeah. So we will give you some caution here. It sounds really nice at the altar where we pronounce the scripture, right? Declaring that now you are one flesh, right? Not one flesh, but you are one. That sounds really good, but there is a process. Mm-hmm. And we understand that the process, it is not one that is meant for children. Marriage is for adults.
It is for
because
adults.
Because the process does involve at times a lot of discomfort, some agony sometimes along with it, some pain, frustration. So that's because God is cutting away from us things that are what? Finish the statement.
Oh, you got to know.
He's cutting off of us things that don't represent his nature. Things that are in contrast to whom he is. He cuts those things away from us.
He cuts them away. He's cutting away. The reason why I didn't, because I'm already moved into what is going to be our takeaway.
Yeah.
What is going to be our takeaway on today?
Yeah, so which is good, but I wanted to just complete this, a word of encouragement to let you know, when you run into the obstacles, when you face the fire, when you face the wind in the storm, don't be discouraged. Do not be discouraged. This can be, again, an opportunity for you to lean into each other. It can also be an opportunity where God is looking to expose where you are on your journey to oneness.
Mm-hmm. So my takeaway is, you're going to have differences and you're going to have likeness. But the key is to make Christ the center. And I guarantee you'll come out with oneness. Remember, you and I are the first three letters of unity.
And my takeaway is know that it is indeed a process. Don't get weary in well doing. Keep your eyes focused on the prize, and you will get there.
And we hope we have motivated someone, inspired someone, and encouraged someone to keep on kicking and hanging there.
So until next time,
I'm Marvin.
And I'm Lila. God bless you.
Make a better marriage. Bye-bye.
So until next time, make love better.
If this podcast has been a blessing to you, go ahead, subscribe, rate, and review. And join forces with us to preserve marriages by sharing this podcast with family and friends. And remember to visit us on our